Hello, everybody! You are listening to Limited Playtime, the board game podcast where we bring you board game reviews in 30 minutes or less.
Or the next episode is free.
Except, again, today. Because we are doing a Gen Con preview! I am Kyle Bolin.
I'm Jason Cavallari.
And we have a very special guest here, briefly at least, who is going to do a little cameo here. My 7-year-old son, Milo Bolin. Milo, say hi.
Hi!
Yep. Milo's very excited about Gen Con this year because he's going to be going for the first time since he was 1.5. And when he heard that we were doing a Gen Con preview, he asked if he could come and talk about the things that he's excited to see and do there. So I said, yeah, you know what? Why not? You can come and do a little cameo at the top of the show. And then you're going to go upstairs and seal the basement up so that there's no weird noises in the background, right?
Right.
Okay. All right. So, Milo, let's start with you, okay? We're going to be, Jason and I are going to be talking about all the stuff that we've been looking at online on the Board Game Geek preview and what we're excited to go and try out or see or maybe even buy, some of the stuff that we know that we're, you know, that we typically see there, maybe stuff like that. But what are you looking forward to, Milo?
Okay, first, I'm looking forward to seeing all the Warhammer stuff, and second of all, I'm looking forward to playing a Save Christmas game.
So we are signed up for a kids-only tabletop adventure that involves a bunch of kids saving Santa Claus, I believe. Right, Milo?
I think so.
Yeah. So that's what we're going to be doing on Saturday with Milo. Milo's going to be there on Saturday, and then Thursday and Friday, it'll just be the limited playtime men.
You like the men. Warhammer stuff, Milo?
Yeah.
Awesome.
What Warhammer have you played and done?
I'm basically making an army of Space Marines.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah, he's got a lot of them now. I'm far, far behind on my own Adeptus Sororitas army because I have to keep making his assembling his Ultramarines and his Dark Angels and whatever else he's got going on.
Aggressors and Scepters.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you lost your headphones.
Yeah.
It's okay.
They're so slippery.
So are you looking forward to seeing all the people in costume?
Yeah.
I figured that would be fun for you, you know, like seeing everybody that's dressed up as characters you might recognize. Probably mostly characters you don't recognize because I think we've gotten to a point where we've hit peak anime at the cosplay. And like even, I feel like Jason, you and I don't have any idea what we're looking at most of the time when we're there.
Yeah, sometimes, sure.
Yeah. Yeah, but like when I see a Cloud Strife, I'm like, I know that guy. And if you see an Ultramarine, you're going to be like, that's an Ultramarine! Right?
Yeah.
All right, cool. Anything else you want to talk about that you're excited about?
Yeah, there's one more thing. I'm really excited about being in that podcast.
Oh, you want to do another podcast?
Yeah, podcasts are really fun.
Okay. Yep, so Milo's probably going to make one more little guest appearance, probably on our day 3 episode of the Gen Con LPT special podcasts. Right?
I'm looking forward to hearing what he has
probably
to say.
Okay, yeah, he'll have a review for us for the Santa Claus game and hopefully just the con in general, right?
Yeah, probably.
Okay.
Special right. correspondent.
Not be there.
Yes, exactly.
Beware that I'm probably playing video games.
Well, not at Gen Con. We're going to be doing all board games and RPGs and stuff. So
yeah.
All tabletop. Although you'll probably notice that they do actually have an arcade there.
They have a video game arcade?
They usually do. I don't know if for sure if they'll have it this year, but they typically do have a room reserved for a lot of arcade games. They've got some console games and stuff going on. A lot of people kind of doing tournament type stuff there.
Okay, so now that I know that, I'm gonna go ahead and leave it to you guys.
Okay, alright. Thanks, Milo.
You're welcome.
Alright, make sure you close the door behind you, okay?
Got it.
Alright, thanks, bud. Alright, so Jason, I went and looked at all 538 or whatever games on that list of the Gen Con preview list. I at least scrolled past it, and I don't know what you did, but here's what I did. Anytime something caught my eye based on box art, the name of the game, the designer of the game, the publisher of the game, you know, perhaps just the genre that appeared to be, or the apparent genre, you know, like, of the game. I kind of stopped and took a closer look at it, and then if it looked at the sort of thing, looked like the sort of thing that I'm going to want to go and check out, I put it on my list.
Yeah, I did the exact same thing.
I figured you did. Yeah, all right. So I guess if it's relevant, we can kind of talk about why we thought this looked interesting, or why we might want to go and check it out, and why someone else might want to go and check it out. Because we decided to do this preview show specifically because we saw somebody asking about it online, right? And we thought, mm-hmm. We've done that before. Why aren't we doing it this year? That might be of value to some people who maybe don't have as much time to just sit on the couch and look at every single one of these 500 and some games. So we have done the work for you. And if your interests and tastes align with ours at all, maybe we'll have something interesting for you, the listener, out there. Do you want to start, good. Jason?
Sure. All right. Well, so one of the things that I'm excited for is just sort of something that I want to get out of the way right away, which is that they're releasing another expansion for Vampire the Masquerade Rivals. I'm definitely going to pick that up. Moving past that, just because I'm already sort of invested in that, it's not necessarily new to me. There's a few games that are coming out that I hope are able to at least demo, if not to purchase. And one of them is Castles by the Sea.
Castles by the Sea.
Yeah.
That's not on my list. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to look up any games that I haven't already taken a look at. Mm-hmm. And that way I can take a look at it while you're talking about it. And we can have some sort of a conversation about it, hopefully, right?
Sure. So Castles by the Sea is, I have not tried this. It has not been released yet. So I'm going purely on description here. But so it's a game that's published by Brotherwise Games. And it's sort of a puzzly, almost King Domino-like kind of thing about building sandcastles. So you can, build little castles, but on the beach or whatever. But like the thing is that they're also, aside from being sandcastles, they're also supposed to be like tiny villages, like actual tiny, like mythical creatures actually live in them. So you actually get to like populate the sandcastles too. As you build up, you can, make combos and interfere with your opponent's plans and deal with hazards and dangers and all that kind of stuff and collect points.
It's got really pretty art.
It does have really pretty art. Actually, that's one of the things that kind of caught my eye when I looked at it. And then I started looking at the photos of the game itself. And I was like, oh, this is pretty cool. It's got like little wooden little wooden meeple blocks, but they're like, yeah, there's like a sandcastle.
There's like a little like blue or purple wizard meeple on top of some blocks in one shot. So it's listed here as 2023. Were you expecting this to be released there potentially?
No, I'm pretty sure it's not going to be released there, but I'm looking to hopefully get a demo.
Okay. Okay.
Cool. I actually saw this one on a list of, I forget what website it was. It was like, maybe it was like Gamer or something like that, but they actually had released a list of like 13 or 14 things that they're looking forward to, and yeah. I was checking out their list, and this is one of the ones that caught my eye from that list.
You're cheating. You're looking at other people's lists.
Well, I wanted to know what other people were excited about.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. This probably isn't going to happen, but I have another, I also have one of those things where this is a game that I'm heavily invested in already. And if this expansion comes out at Gen Con, I'm going to be buying it. And if it doesn't come out at Gen Con, it apparently comes out, like a month and a half later in store. But we've seen this happen before. It's a Fantasy Flight Games expansion for Marvel Champions, the card game. It's the Mutant Genesis expansion. They're, at the very least, they're running a scenario there at Gen Con that you could have signed up for, through the sign up and everything. I didn't do that because they have me, right? Like, I'm going to buy this. I don't need to try it out to know whether or not I need it or anything. And I don't I don't need to play it early if I can't own it yet, right?
Right, yeah.
So, but we've seen Fantasy Flight release games at Gen Con that then didn't hit stores for a couple of months before, right? That happened with Twilight Imperium 4 when it came out in 2017. Mm-hmm. So I'm like thinking there's that little slim chance maybe they have it ready to go and have some advanced copies to sell at Gen Con. And if so, I'm coming home with it.
come hell or high water.
Yeah, I mean, I ever since Marvel Champions came out, however many, 3 years ago, I've been invested, but really, like, I've just been kind of waiting for the X-Men, right? Like, I'm yeah, happy to play with Captain America for a little while. I'm happy to play with Doctor Strange and Spider-Man and all of those, you know, like, fun folk and everything. But what I really want is Colossus throwing Wolverine like a missile. Then I'm happy.
Yeah,
fastball special.
Fastball special, that's it.
Yes. So that's what I'm really waiting for, and if that's there, then I'm jumping in line. I'm going to be in line anyway, because we'll get to that. But that's my little, like, you know, my equivalent of your vampire masquerade game thing. The thing that I will be in line for, because this says it has a release date of September 16th, and I just assume they're releasing it there. So again, I don't know for sure, but it's Twilight Inscription, which is a roll and write game set in the Twilight Imperium, like, setting, right? Like, yeah, universe, whatever you want to call it. So it has all of the races, all, like, 24 races from Twilight Imperium that you can play as with variable powers. It has, like, you know, the whole, like, expansion and units and all of that, you know, like, upgrades, science, you know, trees, all of that is in there. It's represented somehow, although from what I've seen so far, I don't really understand how, because it's like all you've got is like a few kind of like low, not high res enough pictures to really, like, glean that much information from the photos. So, but we know that I'm also heavily invested into Twilight Imperium, and they've got me. So this is something that I have to come home with if it's there. So when we get to that exhibition hall on Thursday morning at 10 o'clock, the first thing I'm doing is heading straight to Fantasy Flight to see if I can get my hands on either one of those two things. And if they're not there, then I don't know what I'm going to do with myself. I'm going to be very sad.
I feel you a little bit about that, because I too have one of those games that, you know, when the exhibition hall opens, I want to go right to their booth and see if I can get a copy of it.
Yeah.
The game that I'm interested in picking up is going to be from Renegade Games, and it's called My Father's Work.
I've seen everybody's, that seems to be one of the hot games this year.
Yeah, already. Yeah, I'm super excited about this game. It's like a heavily thematic horror game where you're members of a family who I believe your father was like a mad scientist.
Yeah, it's got a very Frankenstein sort of aesthetic to it.
Yeah, and your father has died and you have to like carry on his work at the same time that you sort of like build your estate and whatnot. And I'm just like head over heels about trying this game out.
Is it the theme that you're excited about?
I mean, usually that's what grabs me first. But also, I mean, from people that have played it, you know, I've read some reviews and stuff, and people are pretty excited about it. They think it's a really sort of interesting spin on games that use like hand management and worker placement mechanics.
Okay. It was crowdfunded, I believe, right?
Yeah, it was.
Yeah, I remember being one of those crowdfunded games that was getting a lot of attention at the time. So
yeah, and I saw the crowdfunding campaign when it launched, and at the time I was like, I don't know, I kind of want to see how this plays out. Yeah. So from everything I've been hearing about it, I'm real excited to.
I have seen enough about it that it caught my interest, and so I even thought about putting it on my own list, but ultimately, I figured you would do it, and I just let you do it. So
good gamble. Yeah.
Okay, so going down the rest of my list here, this is in alphabetical order of publisher, because that is how the list defaults on Board Game Geek. So the first thing that I marked was Dice Hunters of Therion. I have not heard of this game, but going to the website, I found it, and it says that it is designed by Richard Garfield, who, if you don't know, was the guy who invented Magic the Gathering. And just about any other card game that you possibly have heard from.
Like, and Bunny like Kingdom.
Bunny Kingdom, yeah, definitely. But also Netrunner, Keyforge, you know, the game that Fantasy Flight came out with a few years ago. He's done a ton of stuff. So he's, you know, kind of like one of the more celebrated card game designers. And we have enjoyed some of his other games. Perhaps not quite to the extent that we've enjoyed Magic the Gathering, but, you know, just based on pedigree, I want to go and check that out and see what it's about. So Dice Hunters of Therion says here it's $25. Looks like a pretty small game. It looks like it's a dice game, not a card game. But it doesn't say too much about it. It says, with their dice, players secure their rewards and find valuable treasures. With courage and the favor of the dice, they will succeed in claiming glory and honor in the name of Therion. So, some sort of dice game. It says that there's dice icon resolution, dice rolling, but I want to go and check that out and see what that's about. So, I figure it's worth a pass at their booth. It's published by Amigo, so if you're looking for them, that's who you're looking for.
And give it one of those, like, you know, shyly looking over your shoulder as you pass by the booth.
I don't know if we ever get that shy at Gen Con, honestly.
We're pretty much. Don't.
Yeah, I think I'm usually just like, you know, like jumping over somebody's shoulder and salivating. So,
right. Get out of the way.
Yeah, I think when we're at Gen Con, I tend to be very, very outgoing and direct. So,
sometimes that's the only way to get what you want.
Hey, doesn't always get you what you want either. So
that's true. Yeah.
All right, give me another one, Jason. What are you looking at?
All right, so another one that I'm looking at that probably will be my second stop after Renegade will be to grab a copy of Acropolis from Gigamic or Gigamic. I don't know how to pronounce their name. So this is a tile laying... but also like 3D, like vertically building tiles as well as laying them next to each other. There's some drafting, pattern building, etc. involved. You're basically like a bunch of architects in ancient Greece, and you have to build up the Acropolis. So you have to build up like temples and houses and markets and whatnot. There's some sort of resource management involved too, because you obviously need like, you know, stones and mortar and stuff to build the stuff. And the higher and the better you build and construct your districts, the more points they're worth. So I'm interested in this game because, again, it's sort of drew me in with the theme. Like, I like ancient Greek things. It looks cool. I kind of really like tile laying games. It's one of those, like Euro kind of mechanics that I actually like really enjoy.
I'm looking for it in the search function, and the only Acropolis I'm coming up with is, it's listed as 2008.
Are you spelling it with a K or a C?
C.
It's A-K-R.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, 2022, here we go. All right. Oh, chunky tiles. Love chunky tiles.
Yeah.
Hexagons.
Yeah, so I'm kind of excited about this. I mean, it sounds like a fairly straightforward, kind of like no-nonsense kind of game that could have some interesting interactions with it.
It's like a tile-based city builder, right?
Yeah, kind of.
Hexagonal tiles.
And yeah. I love those two things. I like tiling and I like city building.
Uh-huh. Looks cool.
Yeah, so I'm excited about that.
This looks like exactly the kind of game that when we go to Gen Con, I look at it and I'm like, okay, and then you go and buy it, and then we sit down and play it, and I'm usually like, that was fun.
Yeah.
But it's always the kind of game where I'm like, and I'm happy to just let you own it, and then I'll play it with you, like, you know, the couple of times we play it, and then I'll go and find some stupid thing that costs like $150.
That has happened a few times, yes.
Yeah.
Although, to be fair, I've bought...
Yeah, you've done your own fair share, too.
Yeah, rather expensive things that...
For sure, yeah. All right, well, that looks cool.
Yeah, so what's next for you?
So, I marked down Cora Quest. Have you heard of this?
Yeah, I have, actually.
The Cora Quest. I believe it's supposed to be evoking Hero Quest because it is a dungeon crawling game, but it was designed by a dad and his daughter. And all of the artwork in the game was basically sourced from actual children who, like, sent their artwork in and then, like, they colored it and everything to make all of the villains and the heroes and everything and the, mm-hmm. I don't know if the dungeon so much and everything. But I heard about this game a while ago when looking for games to play with my own child and children, right? Because I've now got two of them, but one of them's not quite dungeon crawler age yet. But for Milo, who was just on the podcast, mm-hmm. this would be something that we could potentially play if he finds it interesting. So I think on Saturday when I'm walking around the exhibition hall with him, I might pass by this booth and see if he thinks it looks cool, because I would enjoy playing something like this with him. I mean, we have other games that could be played that are very similar, like Mice and Mystics, right? That's like, you know, kind of like aimed at a younger crowd. But this has such a, like, just directly aimed at children sort of look to it that maybe it'll appeal to him in a way that, you know, like other things don't necessarily. So I want to check this out, and it already had some good buzz and some good kind of word of mouth on the internet, and has for a little while. So I'm really curious to see this. And I really like the backstory about how it got created, you know, like a dad and his daughter kind of like, you know, developing this because, you know, they wanted a game that fit exactly what they wanted, you know, and I'm curious about that. So I want to go check out Korra Quest at some point.
Oh, cool. That actually sounds really interesting.
Yeah.
I'm interested to see what the art looks like, actually.
I mean, you can look it up on BoardGameGeek. You can see a lot of it.
Really?
It's very charming child art. I don't know how else to describe it, but it's clearly well done art, but by children, right? And maybe cleaned up a little bit and you know, well colored and everything. Mm-hmm, I'm guessing that someone professional went and inked it all and everything, but it's got a real charming look to it, and it's got me a little excited for some reason. A lot of reasons, probably.
Sounds good.
Yeah. All right. What's your next one?
All right. So my next one, I'm actually going to put two of these together. So I have two like space themed games, like sci-fi games.
Hit me with it.
Yeah. Which is weird because that's usually not my bag. But
that's mine.
I know. But you might even actually have one or both of these on your list. I don't know.
Let's see.
So one of them is Wormholes.
Nope.
So Wormholes is coming out. It's from AEG, the Alderac Entertainment Group, and it's basically like a pick up and deliver kind of game. Like you run like an interplanetary transit system.
Well, I like that. That just sounds like Zaya, and I love that.
So yeah, you have to like take passengers from point A to point B. And also in this universe, they've invented wormhole technology. So it sort of can bend the way that you travel from point A to point B. It makes the board modular, and you have to build networks and passenger routes and things like that. There's some sort of like competition between the players as various companies. So like, stuff that you build can be used by other players, but they have to pay you for it, and vice versa. So I like the concept of the game. I mean, if somebody plunked down a game and said, here, you have to build bus routes, like, that sounds really boring, but, like, bus routes in space with wormholes, like, that sounds great.
Is this one for sale?
I believe it is.
Okay, are you going to grab it, or are you just going to go check it out and see if it tickles your fancy all the way?
Yeah, that's where I am with this one. So I'm intrigued by it. It looks pretty cool. It might be one of those things where if I like see it in person, I'm going to be like, yes, I definitely have to get this.
Okay, yeah. But AEG, if you're listening, you could always just like hand a copy to us for review, and then we'll probably feel obligated to get around to it at some point.
Yes. So that was one of them. The other one is, again, another space-themed game. Again, not like me. This one is called Planet Unknown, from Adam's Apple Games. So the concept of this game is that, basically Earth is dying. It's run out of resources, which is I know, eerily.
Oh, this is out. I've seen this in stores.
Yeah. It just came out this year. And there's like several different planets that could potentially be the place where we can move our civilization. Mm-hmm. And so each player is in charge of one of these different planets. And you have to essentially develop the best planet. So yours gets to be the one that we all move to.
Okay. So it's terraforming Mars, but everybody gets their own Mars.
Yeah. Yeah. Basically.
Kind of.
Yeah.
I mean, that's probably really reductive and stupid, but.
Yeah, so aside from the terraforming aspect, there's a lot of like city building stuff and kind of puzzly interactions and things like that. I gather some of it is some of it uses some mechanics like in King Domino, which is sort of like one of those games that I really enjoy. Mm-hmm. So I'm excited. This is another one like Wormholes where I'm like, I'm going to look at it. It looks cool. I think concept is really interesting. I want to see it mm-hmm. before I'm all in.
Okay. Cool. Yeah, that is not on my list. I've got several space-themed things on here, but not that one.
As I would expect.
Yeah. I'll talk about something that's not space-themed since, you know, we'll go a different direction here. I'll go with fantasy-themed.
Oh, that's mine.
Yes. Yeah, I know. You take mine, I'll take yours.
Okay, sure.
This one we're actually signed up to play. We got into an event for Lords of Vala, Dragon Bond, where it looks like it's an asymmetrical war game where one player, I don't know if it's supposed to be four players or what, but like there's a player playing as a general and a player playing as a dragon on either side, and somehow the dragon and the general can become bonded, and then they can win together.
This makes me think of that Rick and Morty episode.
Yeah, well, okay. We're not going to go there. This is a family podcast. But, you know what? It reminded me of, what was that game we tried playing that was, like, fully asymmetric and, like, two players were fighting in space and two players were fighting on a planet.
Oh, yeah. What was that game?
Oh, my gosh. And I always joke about buying it whenever I'm at the store because we had such a hard time figuring it out. And you're always like, no, don't do that to me again.
Yeah, I think I blocked it out. I don't.
Yeah, no. Okay. Yeah, it's too bad. But I mean, like, it sounds like maybe, hopefully, like something that evokes the promise of that game, right? Of like the sort of like asymmetrical team-based game that actually works and isn't a complete like, you know, like nightmare to figure out and everything.
Yeah.
So I was kind of hoping to get that out of this game, and we're going to go try it out, so we're going to see, right? I don't know whether or not it's for sale or not. I can't remember. But, you know, like if it's that good, I could see myself maybe jumping in on this because I've always kind of wanted a game that allows good team play. There's not a lot of those. Like competitive team play, you know?
Competitive team play.
You know what I mean? Like you know, we play a lot of games that are competitive, that dudes on a map competitive games, like you know, Innis or, you know, whatever, right? Like mm-hmm. Cthulhu Wars, you know? But there's very few of those games that are built from the ground up to be played as team games.
Mm. Yeah.
And that's something that I'm interested in, is if there was, you know, more games that do that, so.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, so what's cool. Your next one, Jason?
All right, so my next one is another one like the one you just mentioned that we're sort of signed up to play. At least I think me and Gabe are signed up to play. You may be busy with Milo that day.
Right.
Which is Legends of Sleepy Hollow.
Okay.
So I'm interested to check this one out, and I believe it is actually on sale at the thing, but this is one of the ones that I really want to play before I sink my teeth into it. So it's based on the novella by Washington Irving, you know, the famous thing, Ichabod Crane,
yep.
Headless Horseman, all that business.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So in this scenario, it's shortly after Ichabod has disappeared, and four town residents, which will, you know, each player takes one of them, start investigating the mysteries of Sleepy Hollow and what happened to Ichabod. So it's cooperative, for the most part, although from what I gather, there can be situations where, you know, one of the group is not working towards the same goal, which is a mechanic that I really like. It's also a campaign game, which I find really interesting. I don't usually like legacy games that much, but this sounds like it's a kind of campaign with not a legacy element, which is more kind of my thing. The investigators that you play have like different abilities. You interact with the environment, and so on and so forth. So I have a lot of campaign games. I have a lot of like dungeon crawly things. Although this isn't strictly one of those, but it's sort of similar. So I'm really looking for something really kind of interesting and different before I commit to buying a similar type of game. Even though I'm like really in love with the theme, like this is one of my favorite stories. So
yeah.
So I'm definitely looking forward to trying it out when we do at our Learn to Play event, and we'll see what happens from there.
Okay, cool. We're going back to space, Jason.
Woohoo!
Big surprise. Pegasus Spiel. It looks like they're going to have this because they've got a $60 MSRP listed on the preview page, although it does say the release date is October, but that doesn't really mean anything at Gen Con.
Yeah.
Because you can get so many games like a month or two early, so I'm assuming it's going to be sold there. This is called Spaceship Unity. I don't really know all that much about this, but I'm finding myself very drawn to narrative-heavy games lately. I think part of it is, like, I've had such a good time with, like, Sleeping Gods. I had such a good time with Legacy of Dragonholt 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. Seriously, like, one of my favorite games now, like, of all time. I really need something else that does what that did, and almost nothing does. But anything that even approximates that, just in terms of storytelling and stuff, is now catching my attention. And so there's this game is called Spaceship Unity, and what it says is that it's basically trying to tell, like, a story almost as, like, a TV series, that there's, like, five episodes or five cases in this game. And it says that you're going to turn you're going to transform your home into a spaceship and experience a fantastic story. It says that it uses action timer, command cards, game system, science fiction. Those are the tags they've got listed on there. The box doesn't really tell me much. I want to go and see what this is.
Yeah.
Like, if this is some sort of, like, almost like oh, what's that game we played where we're, like, basically, like, commanding a starship together on computer?
Oh, Artemis.
Artemis, yeah. We had a really good time playing that. If they've somehow, like, turned Artemis into a spaceship-themed board game, I would be really into that. I mean, it almost just basically kind of sounds like Captain Sonar, but cooperative, right? but if that's what this is, I'm probably down, right?
Yeah.
If it's just some sort of, like, even if it's just sort of, like, you know, like, sort of a Sherlock Holmes style, like, solve this mystery, but actually this is just, like, a storytelling, like, you know, like a space adventure, like basically a take on of Star Trek or something like that. Like, even that I'm down for. There, if this looks like it's mechanically sound and written well, or, you know, like, performed well or whatever, I think this is going to be something that will definitely fall on my radar. So I need to go and check it out and see what it is. And if it's any of those things that I might find interesting, that might be one of those things where, you know, I want to try it out, or I want to take it home or something.
Yeah.
So Spaceship Unity is what that is.
Oh, that sounds pretty cool.
Yeah, I hope so. I mean, there's not a lot of information on it, but this elevator pitch sounds really fun potentially. So yeah. I gotta check it out.
I mean, at a certain level, that's sort of like what we're going on with all these things.
Yeah, for sure. But I mean, what it looks like, it looks thematically like they're trying to basically get you involved in a, you know, like doing your own Star Trek episode, like being in a Star Trek episode. And I'm excited to try that out. So
yeah, cool.
Yeah. All right, next.
All right, so for me, my next one is also coming out from Pegasus Spiel. It's they're not the publisher, I think they're just the...
They have a lot of stuff on the list this
I know,
year.
They do, yeah.
Yeah.
So this one is called A Battle Through History.
Oh, yeah, I saw that.
Yeah.
That looked cool.
It's a card game where basically you play... a general, a time-traveling general, and you travel through time and gather up troops from different eras and ages of history to make up an army to, you know, challenge your competitors.
I think I saw this at the at one of the game stores I go into as well. I think this is out.
Is it?
I think so. I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
I looked it up. I'm pretty sure either that or there's another game that has a very similar theme that I looked up.
Yeah.
Because I found it at a store.
This is another one that... you know, it's one of those ones where, like, I wanna at least see it played before I again commit to it. The theme seems really interesting. Like, I'm a big history buff, so you know, I like the idea of being able to travel through time and take, like, Napoleonic soldiers and you know, janissaries from the Ottoman Empire and whatever else, and sort of see what I can do with it. It has
kind of like that unmatched appeal too of, like, I'm gonna see how this samurai army, like, you know, like, fares against a Civil War army or whatever. I guess that's an actual movie, isn't it?
It's like it's sort of like, you know, Bill and Ted meets, like,
like
Roll Through the Ages or something, you know.
Yeah
So I'm excited to try it out. I want to give it a fair shake.
Yeah, that sounds cool. Yeah, I'd be interested to get a better look at that as well.
So cool.
Maybe drag me along for that when we go take a look.
All right, we'll do.
Yeah. Let's see. I want to talk about Evergreen. Did you look at this?
I don't think so, actually.
It's got a really pretty box cover. It's published by Horrible Guild, who I know you've bought games from before. And it's designed by Hjalmar Hawk, who you may recognize was the designer of Photosynthesis.
Oh, yeah, Photosynthesis.
This kind of looks like a follow-up to Photosynthesis, which we recently talked about.
Mm-hmm.
It's got a really interesting sort of, like, just mechanically looking like board. Like there's all these little like recessed areas that it looks like twigs or something go into. I'm not really sure. It's got a bunch of wooden pieces. The art is really, really, really pretty. So I want to go and check that out and see how, you know, how it compares to what we saw in Photosynthesis, if it's completely different. But I mean, it definitely looks like it's playing on that whole, tree ecosystem theme that Photosynthesis kind of started with and everything. So that caught my eye. I want to go check that out based on the pedigree and the art, essentially.
Yeah, I'm looking at the pictures right now, and the cards are really gorgeous.
Really pretty. Yeah, I really want to. I just want to go. That's, maybe that's all it is. I just want to go look at the pretty art, but that's enough to get me in your booth, you know?
Yeah, for sure.
For sure, yeah. You got any more?
Yeah, I do. So here's another one that I'm not sure is actually going to be available for purchase. I don't think it's out yet, but I'm hoping there will be a demo. It's from Next Move Games, and it's called Maui.
Okay.
So from what I'm gathering, it's sort of like a take or an evolution of like games like Azul. Okay. It's based on like pattern building with beach towels and beach umbrellas, but there are also like you know, things that live at the beach that can like mess up your pretty beach towel pattern, like crabs and whatnot. Mm-hmm. There's like a sand dollar kind of currency that is how the market part of this operates, and then you place towels to match patterns and whatnot. So I like Azul. I like pattern making games. This seems like, you know, one of those like quick, enjoyable, easy to play, easy to teach kind of games that I just kind of really like. Mm-hmm. And plus it just kind of looks really pretty because the colors are just like all pretty. Like the board looks like a beach, and then you lay down all these like really colorful beach towel things on it, and it just kind of looks really neat.
I mean, it, like that first game you talked about, I have already forgotten the name of it, but the one where you're building like the sand castles or whatever.
Oh yeah, Castles by the Sea.
Castles by the Sea, like that aesthetic is just so pretty. It's just so easy to make a game look good when you're using like all those colors of blue and, you know, like the sandy yellow and everything.
Yeah, yeah. And I think, I mean, the game, I mean, even the box art for Maui just kind of gives you it looks like the aesthetic of like Weekend at Bernie's.
Ooh.
You know, that like neon 80s
yeah.
pastel kind of thing.
Like, without the corpses, hopefully.
Yeah, hopefully. Although, I mean, you never know.
Sure. Never know what's under the sand.
Yeah, yeah, I know. But I'm just kind of really...
The sea is full of wonders.
The sand of the beach is full of wonders. So yeah, I'm excited to at least demo this one.
Okay, cool. Hey, what if I told you there's a game at Gen Con that is a light dungeon-crawling adventure with unique puzzle mechanisms? A 1-3 player co-op dungeon adventure game that combines unique tile laying and hand management mechanics to deliver a substantial experience of exploration and combat.
I would say, which description are you reading?
It's all the same. It's Forgotten Depths, being published by Grand Gamers Guild, who were like co-publisher for one of our games of a couple years ago. Endeavor, Age of Sail.
Oh, yeah.
Grand Gamers Guild. So, you know, like a little bit of a publishing pedigree there at the very least. I don't really recognize the designer, Peter Albertson, but it has like this sort of like nice sort of like watercolor-esque sort of art to it. And the idea of it being a 1-3 player co-op dungeon adventure game that is light and uses puzzle mechanisms. I mean, that sounds interesting to me. I like puzzle games. I don't know how much I'm on record for loving Exit at this point. I know I've talked about it a little bit on this podcast, but I love Exit. The sort of like escape room in a box, those are awesome. And so like I've kind of got the puzzle bug now, and so I don't know how heavily this is on puzzles versus like just sort of like, you know, like a lot of these sort of light card based dungeon crawlers just basically use a lot of like resource management, and that's the puzzle for some of them, you know. Mm-hmm. So if that's all this is, then I'm a little less interested. But if it actually has like puzzles in it, then I am definitely, my interest is piqued. So I want to go and check that out, see what that's about.
Cool.
Forgotten Depths.
Awesome.
Yeah.
So I have one more.
Okay, I'll do one more too. Okay. I've got a few other things on this list, but I don't need to talk about all of them. So,
all right. So one more that I'm kind of really interested in seeing is going to be available for purchase. It's called Terracotta Army by Board and Dice. So this is sort of an amalgamation of a lot of different Euro type mechanics. So there's some worker placement involved. There's some engine building involved. I think there's some like area majority stuff involved. You are basically representing a craftsman or an artist who's trying to put together the famous statues of soldiers and horses and chariots and whatnot that were buried with the first emperor of China. So you basically are striving to be the crucial architect to put all this stuff together, and therefore win the most victory points. So the reason I'm sort of interested in this is one, the historical theme I find interesting. Two, I like it when games take a lot of different mechanics that I'm really kind of familiar with and sort of put them together and see how they interact with each other. I really like when that happens. And so, this seems like, you know, one that does it in sort of an interesting way. So I'm excited to try and see if I can try it out. And plus, again, with the aesthetics, I think the board and whatnot just looks really cool.
Cool. Okay, I think I just looked at everything left on my list, and I think the thing that I'm going to pick, I feel like this is the worst thing for me to pick because it's another space game. It's another roll and write. I don't know exactly how this is going to differentiate itself from the other space roll and write Twilight Inscription on my list, but Yello, I-E-L-L-O, the publisher, has a game listed for demo only, but it looks like it is coming out, I believe, this year. Let me double check here. It says Q3 2022, so that would be very soon.
Yeah.
Called Distance Suns. It appears to be a roll and write where you are exploring the universe. And it has art by Vincent Dutre. And if you're familiar with Vincent Dutre's art, it's just absolutely gorgeous. Every game that I own with him, with his art in it, I typically bought because I just liked the art that much. That was enough to draw me in. You know, like he did a couple of games for Holy Grail games like Museum, and I'm trying to remember if he did the Dominion one or not, but he did that Atlantis Rising game that I'm going to bring to Gen Con play, which is a really cool game. You know, it's a co-op worker placement game, but it has his art in it, and it's just gorgeous to look at. So Vincent Dutre always captures my attention, and a space roll and write sounds pretty fun too, which I've already addressed with the Twilight Inscription, but it looks like this maybe works a little differently. It certainly just, like, it looks very abstract, what I'm looking at on the photos on BoardGameGeek. But it kind of looks like maybe you're constructing a little bit of a galaxy here. You're using hexagons to explore. It looks like it might be a little simpler than the Twilight Inscription game. So I want to take a look at both of them and see how they compare. And I don't know. I with these quick, you know, like 25-minute roll and write games, and they come in small boxes typically, I don't see a problem owning multiples of the same, you know, basic theme or whatever with those types of games. So it's kind of like with Buttonshy, right? I mean, like, a lot of those games are kind of variations on a theme or variations on a mechanic. But when it's a game that you can play in 15 to 20 minutes,
like
that's, yeah, exactly. Like they still have value because you might just want a little bit of a variation on that. It's sort of like playing with a deck of cards, right? I mean, like, there's millions of games that you can play with a deck of cards, and they're all just variations on something. So, but you know, we as a society have been playing them for centuries. So, so anyway, Distant Suns is my final choice to put on this list, this preview list. So if you are listening to this and going to Gen Con, if any of those sound interesting, hopefully that has helped you find something to go and take a look at. If you're at Gen Con and you don't know where to start with looking for these things, if we mentioned the publisher, that's the first thing to look for. Is you want to take a look at on the website. They will have like a publisher map, and you can search for the publisher on there as well to find out what booth number they have. And when you're in the hall, there are big banners on every column or every row in the exhibition hall saying what number that, you know, like there, every row has like, you know, like the 5,000 roll, the 6,000 row, you know, like the 200 row or whatever. And so you're going to want to be looking for the row that matches the number of the publisher that you're looking for. Mm-hmm. And then you go and you find them that way. So hopefully that helps you navigate that big mess a little bit. It doesn't necessarily make it easy because the booths aren't always marked within the row that they're in, but at least gets you in the vicinity. So that's what you do, other than just kind of like roaming and finding random stuff that wasn't even on this list or that you didn't even, you know, like imagine was going to look as cool as it does. There's a lot of discovery at Gen Con, and that's really the real joy about it. So I feel like these preview shows are only so useful because really that's the actual joy for me, is just going and discovering stuff that I wasn't looking for.
Yeah, it's always that feeling of like when you were a kid and you went into the toy store and
yes,
yeah, and everything looked cool.
yeah, or like you found something that you had never seen and it was the coolest thing you'd ever seen. Yeah. You know, that's what Gen Con is for me, and that's what makes it so exciting and so irresistible year after year after year. That and just like, you know, the huge amount of fun that you have hanging out with friends and like-minded people who become single-serving friends or weekend friends or maybe even lasting friends.
Yeah, single-serving friends.
Yeah, who you've bonded with over, you know, a role-playing game or a board game or, you know, just some random encounter outside the convention hall or something like right. that. So, yeah, Gen Con's awesome, and I couldn't be more excited. So
same.
Yeah, awesome. All right. Well, thanks for doing this with me, Jason. This is kind of a last-minute thing, but
yeah, no
we pulled it out. Yeah. Thanks for listening, everybody. If you're at Gen Con and you see us, feel free to say hi. We would be excited to talk to anybody that listens to the show.
Yeah, for sure.
We will be doing some pickup gaming in the evenings as well, so we'll be doing plenty of events and stuff. So we will be doing one show per day, probably recording the day after. So there'll be like a one-day delay on each of those shows, but we'll have all of our observations and feedback for the stuff that we try out and see next week. So thank you for listening, and we'll see you in just a few days.
Later.
Bye.